I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Exodus chapter number 12. Familiar passage of God's Word, Exodus chapter 12. We'll commence reading at verse number 1 and we'll read to the verse 13. Follow us please in the reading of God's infallible and inspired truth. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the lamb be too little for the house, or for the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein ye shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, to roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it with loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake and for his glory. You know, down the centuries, men have gloried in the great battles of the past. And I'm sure you could hear some of the older generation as they would talk about some of the battles, especially whenever you listen to some of the old men that were through the Second World War, and they recall the deliverances of God. I remember the first time I heard about the Battle of Dunkirk and how that God delivered during the Second World War. 340,000 servicemen were evacuated from Dunkirk, carrying off what was seen as one of the greatest miracles and one of the greatest rescues that was unparalleled skill. You know, people will talk about these deliverances, and rightly so, when God graciously delivered a people from great trial and trouble and even death. When you read the scriptures, you'll find of deliverances through the servant of God, for example, Joshua, how that God delivered the children of Israel and led them into battle and gave them mighty, wonderful deliverances through his servant Joshua. We read about how God led the children of Israel out of Egypt through his servant Moses, and how that God took them through the Red Sea and how great the deliverances were. We think of God delivering through Gideon and how that he was the mighty soldier of the Lord, a mighty man of valor, and yet he felt and realized that of himself he was absolutely nothing. But friend, I want to talk about a greater deliverance. Because the greatest deliverance that has ever been found in all of the world is a deliverance through the blood of Christ. Deliverance from sin. When man can be delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus and washed and made clean through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this evening the story in Exodus chapter 12. And as you read that story, there's a wonderful picture here of how God delivers sinners and how God saves them. And friend, it's only through the blood. The lamb is central in that deliverance. and the shedding of the blood away back there in Egypt. Tonight, friend, it is the blood of Christ that is central for the deliverance of men and women from the power and from the grip of sin and Satan himself. You see, the land of Egypt, away back there in the book of Exodus chapter 12, the land of Egypt was a place of bondage, and it was a land that was under the judgment of God. Children of Israel were in bondage. God heard their cry. And God said, I am come down to deliver them. And so God raised up a man to lead them. And God would use Moses for the glory and the honor of his name. But my friend, it wasn't Moses that delivered the children of Israel. It was the blood that was the salvation of the children of Israel out there of Egypt many, many years ago. Think for a moment of the children of Israel down in Egypt. It was a time of gloom. It was a time of despair. It was a time of bondage. It was a time of great evil. And the people were crying out to God and asking God to send them a deliverer, send them deliverance. And now God's servant comes and God's servant announces the plagues. And if you turn to verse chapter number 11 and verse number 1, notice this. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more. 9 plagues have been experienced down there in Egypt. And now God says, one plague more. The final plague is coming. And it is the plague of death. For death is coming to the land of Egypt, the land that was under judgment. And God says, if you look in verse number 6 of that chapter 11, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. And can you imagine what that night was? Because God is sending this final judgment. It was the judgment of death that was coming in to the houses there, the simple servant maid's house, and also Pharaoh's house, the death angel was going to come. In the midst of all of that confusion, in the midst of all of that heartache and heartbreak and the pronouncement, yet one plague more, God gives the children of Israel a message of hope. Thank God there's a great message of deliverance through his servant Moses to bring comfort to his people. Go to chapter number 12, verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And the message of hope in the midst of darkness, a message of deliverance in the midst of all of this bondage, was a message concerning a lamb and the shedding of the blood of the lamb. They were to take the lamb from amidst the flock on the 10th day. They were to keep it until the 14th day. And then God says, if you look at verse number 6 at the end of the verse, the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. See, all the lambs for every house. Notice it didn't say it shall kill them. It says the congregation of the children of Israel shall kill it. Because it all pointed to one lamb. A lamb, thou shalt kill it in the evening. And then they were to take the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and they were to ply the blood on the 2 side posts and the upper door post. They were to strike it with the blood. That night the Lord was passing through Egypt, and the angel of death was visiting homes in the land of Egypt, but there was only one place of safety. Verse 13. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friend, death and judgment and wrath was coming to Egypt that night. And the only thing that stood between the children of Israel and the coming wrath, the only thing, was the blood of the Lamb. And friend, before God, let me tell you, there is coming a day of wrath. And the only thing that will stand between you and the wrath and the judgment of God Almighty is that you're under the blood. You see, when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you. We live in a day and an age when there's not much preached about the blood anymore. Even those churches that call themselves evangelical churches, listen very carefully, friend, and you'll hardly hear the blood mentioned. Well, they'll talk about other things. They talk about believing and trusting in the Lord, but they'll not tell you what they're to trust in. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, the devil hates the blood. Because the Word of God says it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth from all sin. And without the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the application of the precious blood, there is no pardon. There is no salvation. And sad to say, there's a bloodless gospel that's been preached. And I say without apology tonight, I don't care who the preacher is, a bloodless gospel is not the gospel at all. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There are four simple things I want to tell you tonight, just before you finish. The first thing is this, my friend. It is the purity of the blood. The purity of the blood. Now look at chapter 12 and verse 5. It says this, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. A lamb without blemish. And the blood of Jesus Christ, friend, listen, is sinless blood. It's sinless blood. It's pure. You see, if the blood of Jesus Christ was not sinless, it would be without power to cleanse the sinner from his sin. If the blood of Christ was not sinless blood, then it would be without value. It would be without virtue. It would be the same as others. The blood of others. But the blood of Christ is sinless blood. I remember what Judas Iscariot said when he threw down the 30 pieces of silver. And he realized that he had committed a great sin in that he led the enemies of Christ to take him and put him to the cross. And Judas Iscariot, he threw down the 30 pieces of silver. And the tears were running down his cheeks because his heart was breaking. And he went out that night and he hanged himself. And Judas went to hell. But Judas said these words, I have betrayed the innocent blood. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And you'll notice that the lamb was taken. And the lamb was taken on the 10th day. And the lamb was kept until the 14th day. Now, why did they do that? Because in those days, friend, that lamb was under examination. Because the lamb was to be without blemish. And they would examine that lamb. Because if there was a blemish in that lamb, then it could not be the sacrifice. And so therefore it would be a blemishless lamb. And they proved the lamb without blemish. What does the Word of God say? Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, but with the precious blood. You were not bought. You know, man today thinks that he can buy everything with money. And as long as he has money and as long as he can throw it down, he can get anything. He can own anything. He can buy anything. Let me tell you, friend. There's something money can never buy. Can never buy the salvation of your soul. For ye are not bought or purchased with a price of money, of silver and gold, because the Bible says it's corruptible. Corruptible things are silver and gold. But he says you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the incorruptible blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, friend, that's important. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed to fall into the ground and corrupt there. But the blood of Christ is in heaven. There is no stain or no blemish in Christ. He is the sinless one, and his blood is sinless blood. You know, when Aaron, the high priest, went to make a sacrifice for Israel, let me tell you, first of all, Aaron had to make a sacrifice for himself and then for the people. But thank God, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he needs no sacrifice. I'll tell you something else. He is the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Christ is a sacrifice. He offered himself once for all. And on the cross of Calvary, he shed his rich red ruby, innocent, sinless, precious, pure blood for the redemption of our soul. Let me tell you, friend, when God bought you and me through the blood of Jesus, I'll tell you, that showed you how precious you were. Because money couldn't buy you. Money couldn't purchase your salvation. For all the treasuries of the world were useless to buy a sinner's soul. But hallelujah, Jesus' blood was able to purchase me. Because what he shed on the cross was pure blood. Precious blood. It was real. But it was the sinless blood of Christ. That's the first thought, the purity of the blood. The second thought is this, the provision of the blood. And I want you to notice something else about it. Because you see, there's something about this blood, friend. When I read some of the hymns, you know, and I'm talking about the modern hymns, I get annoyed because they talk about Jesus spilling his blood. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus did not spill his blood. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood. And God provided in Christ, listen, the blood was provided for the doorposts. Because the Bible says, thou shalt kill it in the evening. The lamb was slain. And the blood was caught in the basin. The blood of the lamb was shed. Let me say something else. You go through the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go through the Gospels. You notice the times the devil tried to kill Jesus. He tried to kill him as a child. Through the enemy there of Herod, who hated the Son of God. Do you remember the Lord Jesus was lying in the hinder part of the ship? And the devil tried to kill him because he tried to capsize the boat and to drown the Son of God. Do you remember the devil's crowd one day when the Lord Jesus Christ was there on the brow of the hill? They tried to throw Jesus over the brow of the hill. And once again, that was another attack of the devil trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, he said this. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." But friend, let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't die that way. He couldn't die at the hands of those men at that brow of the hill to throw him over. He could not die there in that boat for the boat to capsize and to drown the Son of God. Why? Because the Son of God had set his face to go to Jerusalem and go to the cross. And he came to shed his precious blood because he had to die an atoning death. The death of the cross. You see what the devil was trying to do in all of those things? Keep the Savior from Calvary. Because he knew when Jesus Christ would shed his precious blood that his power would be broken, that sin would be defeated, that souls would be saved and brought to heaven. See, the Word of God said the blood of the Lamb was not spilled, you see, because spilled, that means that was an accident. It was spilled. No, friend. The blood of Christ was shed in substitution for you and me upon the cross of Calvary. For the Word of God says, without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. His death was an atoning death. Thank God, through his death upon the cross and the shedding of his blood, the Father was fully satisfied. Thank God, divine justice was satisfied. Thank God, the Lamb died, but the condemned go free. Because he died an atoning death. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 27, there were two names called by Pilate? Whither of the twain will I release unto you? Barabbas! Or Jesus, which is called Christ. One would die. But thank God Christ died. The sinless one. And Barabbas lived. The provision of the blood. Thank God on the cross of Calvary there was a sacrifice that satisfied divine vengeance. Thank God there was a sacrifice made that extinguished the flame of God's wrath that was due for my sin. And on the ground of the shed blood of Christ alone, just like these in Egypt, on the ground of the blood, I'm set free. I'm delivered. The provision of the blood. Thank God he made a covering for my sin. Thank God your sins and iniquities, Hebrews 10:17. Well, I remember her sister talked about it in her testimony. He said it was made clean. That's right, friend. For God says your sins and your iniquities, well, I remember no more. Why? Because they're washed, they're cleansed in the blood. So we see, first of all, the purity of blood. We see, secondly, the provision of the blood. Think, thirdly, the profit of the blood. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you, friend. The blood was caught in a basin. Yes, that's what God told them to do. They were to catch the blood in a basin. And verse number 22, it says, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. and strike the lintel of the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the house or the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. The blood was caught in the basin. But listen carefully to this. It was shed. But that of itself saved nobody. What if the blood had been left in the basin? What if in that home of the children of Israel, and Moses had said, you've got to kill the lamb, and you're to shed the blood, and you're to catch it in the basin, and God had said, listen, and then apply the blood to the doorposts. What if the father had said, listen, son, I have obeyed God, I have shed the blood, and we are feasting upon it. We have roasted the lamb, and we are feasted upon it. Now, daddy, where's the blood? Don't worry, son, it's in the basin. Tell me, friend, would the firstborn of that home been saved with the blood in the basin? The answer is no. You say, but the blood was shed. Yes, it was. But what does it say in verse 22? Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. You say, preacher, what does that mean? By taking the hyssop and putting it in the blood and striking it upon the door, that was the act of faith. That was the act of faith. Friend, let me tell you this. God commanded them, ye shall take the blood and sprinkle it on the two doorposts and the lintels of the door. And until it was personally applied, it would never have saved the firstborn in that home down there in Egypt. Listen, Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. That doesn't mean that everybody's saved. It's only those who are under the blood. There's only those who by faith have received the application of the blood of Christ to their soul. It's only those that have rested their soul upon Christ's atonement that are saved. They've acted by faith. They've acknowledged, I believe God. Danger's approaching. Death is coming. God has provided a way of salvation. And they applied the blood. In other words, they agreed with God, friend. Friend, that's what you've got to do. You've got to agree with God, friend. That's the profit of the blood. There is no such thing. Listen to me carefully. There is no such thing as a man saying to me that he believes in Jesus. And then he says he rejects the power of the blood to save. That person's not saved at all. He's not saved at all. There is only one way of salvation. The blood must be applied. You've got to get under the blood. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peace with God through the blood. It says in verse 23, for the Lord will pass. Or verse 22, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house. They had to stay under the blood. And friend, tonight you may try some other way, but you'll never be saved. I love those words. Go down to verse 28 quickly. And I know I'm trying to skip over this as quick as I can. And I love this, what it says in verse 28. And the children of Israel went away, and they did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did They, hallelujah, they obeyed God. They obeyed God. They applied the blood. They sheltered neath the blood. Thank God we can be sure when the blood is between you and the wrath of God, then you have nothing to fear. The death angel was passing through. Listen, friend, what stood between that little boy of the firstborn in the house of the children of Israel? What stood between him and the wrath of God that was passing through the land of Egypt that night? Only one thing: the blood of the Lamb. And thank God if you have the wrath of, the blood of Christ applied, friend, and the blood is between you and God's wrath, then you have nothing to fear. And that brings me to my last thought. It's the protection of the blood. The protection. I want you to think of something. It's a dark night in Egypt that night. It's so dark. The death angel's coming. And here's the wee family of the children of Israel, and they're sitting there, a little family. And the firstborn says, "Daddy, is the blood applied?" "Yes, son." "Daddy, when the blood's applied, I'm safe, am I?" "Yes, son." "How can I be sure, Daddy?" "I'll tell you." He said, "Daddy, I can't see the blood." "Are you sure I'm safe, Daddy?" "Daddy, I don't want to die. I want to come under the judgment of God in the land of Egypt, Daddy. I want to be safe. I want to be sure. I can't see the blood." Let me tell you, my friend. It was a dark night and they couldn't see the blood. But you know what God said? Go to chapter 12 and verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which are where ye are. And when I see the blood." You see, the wee lad couldn't see the blood, friend. It was dark and he was in the house. But God saw it. And you know what God's looking for in this meeting tonight? The eyes of God, the Bible says, are roaming to and fro in the whole earth. Let me tell you, friend. Do you know what God's looking for? God's looking for the blood mark. For God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You see, the wee boy didn't see the blood, but God recognized the blood. And the wonderful thing is this, friend. God knows everybody who's under the blood. For he knoweth them that are his. God was looking that night. He says, "I will stop at every door. I'll stop at every door." You know what God was looking for? He was looking for the blood mark. And God says, "When I see the blood mark, the death angel will pass on by. I'll pass over. Pass over you." That's the story, friend, of the Passover. Do you know what 1 Corinthians says? Christ, our Passover. He's our Passover. And thank God the story here speaks to me of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, nothing but the blood will do. You can put whatever else between you and the wrath of God, and you'll die in your sin and you'll go to hell. But God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I've got a question. You know where we started tonight, our meeting? You know the first hymn our brother, Mr. McKee, asked you to sing? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Listen, when God sees the blood mark on every child of his friend, does he see one in your heart? Are you under the blood? Have you come by faith? Has the blood been applied to your lost, guilty soul? For it's only the blood will save from hell. It's only the blood of Christ will save from sin. And when I see the blood, praise God, the protection of the blood, God sees the blood. And the firstborn was safe that night because he was under the protection of the blood. I'm asking you a question tonight. This could be your last night, friend. You could be listening to your last message that you'll ever hear, for God could call you to meet him. Is the blood mark on your soul? Can you say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I've nothing to fear because my sins are covered. They're washed. They're cleansed in the blood. If not, I beg you, run to Jesus tonight. Trust him. Receive him as your Savior. Claim the covering for every sin under the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. May God give you grace to come.